Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Presented by BetMGM here on the BetMGM Network. I'm your host, PJ Glass. We got a great show for you guys today. Final Tuesday of the college basketball regular season, and it is a doozy. A lot of great games. We'll give out a lot of bets today on the slate. We also got a great golf tournament coming up on Thursday as well. Arnold Palmer Invitational Elevated Event. All the big boys are playing on the PGA Tour. We'll dive into that, give out some golfers that we like for this week out in Bay Hill. Nick Henning going to join us later on in the show. We'll get Nick's thoughts on the Arnold Palmer Invitational. Also get his thoughts on Champions League as well. We got a lot of games today and tomorrow out in Europe. And then we will wrap everything up with our favorite plays of the day. It's going to be a great show. Fast pace. Any questions, any comments that you guys have for us in college basketball, golf, soccer, NBA. If you want to talk the Kyrie news, let us know. You can hit us up at the BetMGM Network on Twitch, on X, on YouTube as well. And if you miss any part of the show over the next 30 minutes, make sure you check out the Send It In podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts. Glasses in session. Let's get rolling on a Tuesday as we go to the Glasser guest line. Check in with Isaac Shade, who joins us. Make sure you guys follow Isaac on X at Isaac Shade, host of Locked On College Basketball and Locked On Heels podcast as well. And Isaac, that is where I want to start with you, my friend, with your North Carolina Tar Heels, because they got a tricky one tonight. 7.5-point favorites on the road in Blacksburg. They got the Duke game upcoming on Saturday. They've won 5 in a row. Their offense has been on fire. But this game tonight, it feels trappy, doesn't it?
Oh, it's so trappy, PJ. This is a trap that Admiral Akbar himself would be proud of, man. But look, PJ, here's where I'm at with it. Sorry. This is a trap that I'm thinking traps. TJ, PJ, it all goes together. You get it. This is a trap that the Tar Heels will not fall into. Here's why. The Virginia Tech game is actually more important for Carolina's resume than the Duke game is. There is an at-large path for these Tar Heels without the Duke game, but not without this Virginia Tech game. This would be a second quad three loss on Carolina's resume and a bigger black eye than their already flawed resume. So if you miss this one tonight, it don't matter what happens Saturday on senior night when you host Duke. So RJ Davis and this senior team are going to be locked in, ready to go. It's a trap game, but one that they won't miss.
It's an interesting thought right there, because I think, again, everybody's just thinking about the Duke game. If Carolina wins that, they're probably going to be in the tournament, but you make a really good point. Can't have another quad three loss. If they win tonight, Isaac, if North Carolina takes care of business tonight, they lose the Duke game, what do you think they have to do in the ACC tournament? Make it all the way to the finals and lose to Duke? Do they have to beat like a Louisville or Clemson on the way? Like, what do you think is the path for them in the ACC tournament for you to be having your feet up a little bit on Selection Sunday, feeling good about them getting in?
Literally the only way they'll have their feet up is if they win on Saturday night to get the automatic qualifying bid, PJ. Outside of that, they got work to do. And what you set up is indeed the most likely scenario, that they win tonight in Blacksburg and then lose Saturday at home. That said, they are playing a lot better, shooting 46% from three as a team in this streak, man. It's crazy. What they need to do in the ACC tournament in this scenario depends on two things. Number one, it's who they play. in the ACC, it's well known there the teams aren't as strong this year, and you need quad one wins. The problem is there aren't many to be found. On a neutral court, a quad one game is top 50 schools, and outside of Carolina, the only four top 50 schools in the ACC are Duke, Clemson, Louisville, and SMU. The problem for Carolina is they are most likely going to be on Duke's side of the bracket, and so would have to play them in the semis. They're either probably going to be the 4 or 5 seed, either them or SMU flipping back and forth. For my money, I think it's actually better if they get a single bye, then play SMU, the easiest of the quad one possibilities, get two wins under your belt before a third Duke matchup in the semifinals. If you get that, man, I think you're in good shape, but it'd be nice to have two shots at Duke, get one, you're rearing to go, but man, it's going to be a tough road. We'll see what happens. The question becomes, is it all too little too late?
Before I ask you about Auburn and Texas A&M, just keeping with some of the bubble talk in college basketball, Isaac, there's a huge one tonight in the Big Ten between Ohio State and Nebraska. I know you put out your cheering guide every single day. Who do you think that game's bigger for? Is it for Nebraska getting that massive road win, or does Ohio State just need to avoid a loss at home like that?
Almost the way you set it up helps answer the question, PJ. This is a bigger game for from Nebraska, who's been struggling a bit more of late. I think they're in a more precarious scenario, and it's bigger because they're on the road. If they could pick up that road win at another bubble team, we've got three different double bubble games tonight, man, and I am stoked for that. But I'm very excited about this one. If I remember correctly, it's in that 9 Eastern window when we have both ranked on ranked games. So, folks, it's going to be a very quad boxy sort of night, plus your phone, plus your computer, all of that. Nebraska needs this one more than Ohio State does.
Yeah, the slate tonight, Isaac, they definitely did backload it a little bit, right? Like, all the action feels like it's at 9 p.m. Eastern time, including probably the game of the night in College Station between number one Auburn and number 22 Texas A&M. Auburn just continues to roll. They continue to beat everybody in the SEC, while Texas A&M is really struggling. Now, their schedule's been tough, as pretty much as every schedule in the SEC, but they really could use a win tonight. Isaac, they're 4.5-point underdogs, total of 151.5. Your thoughts on Auburn and A&M?
I like Auburn. I like them a very lot. And I don't like A&M as much. No, to me, this, PJ, is all about mitigation of risk, right? Auburn has been the portrait of consistency, as you said, this entire season. The Aggies are the portrait of not that. They're inconsistent. When you look up, if you went to your dictionary, which I don't know why on earth you would have a hard copy dictionary in this day and age, but if you did and you looked up can't hit water from the boat, there you would find the Texas A&M Aggies, man, because they just cannot shoot the basketball. They're on the skids, as you talked about. They've got a get-right game Saturday at LSU to wrap the regular season. The problem is that losing streak is going to hit 5 before then. Give me Auburn to cover on the road, but A&M's defense, man, it is still great, so we're going to hit that under. Give me a total of 148 in this one.
All right, very good. And then what about Iowa State and BYU? These are two very interesting teams. BYU is on fire right now in the Big 12. Iowa State is finally healthy with their full complement of weapons. They're laying 9.5 at home tonight. Is that too many points for you?
No, it's not enough points for me, baby. This is great. And you might say, like you just said, PJ, but Isaac, Iowa State has lost 2 of 3. BYU's playing great basketball. 6 straight, 10 of 12. Yegor Demon, Richie Saunders, they are dudes. That they are. PJ, thank you for saying all that. But this isn't about BYU. It's about Iowa State and Hilton Magic and exactly what you just said, my guy. Take Saturday as proof. Iowa State destroyed Arizona there inside Hilton. The key is all of those guys are healthy. Milan Momcilovic, back. Kashawn Gilbert, back. Curtis Jones, back. They're all getting their full complement of minutes. And people might forget that Iowa State at full strength, for me, is national championship level good. That's what we're talking about here for TJ Otzelberger's team. They've got a great 8, which is exactly what you need. 5 starters and a great 3 off the bench. Give me Cyclones by 15 in this thing, PJ.
All right, very good. I do want to get your thoughts, Isaac. Obviously, the big boys play championship week next week, but we got the little guys. We got the mid-majors, and these tournaments are the best, right? Because just about all of them are one-bid leagues. They're fighting for their lives to try and get into the big dance. Is there a mid-major tournament that you like, Isaac? Is there any team that you feel really good about winning their conference tournament?
There is, and it's actually one of the mid-major multi-bid leagues. The championship game is a week from today, and PJ, the odds makers have given us a glorious gift. I don't know if you've looked at the West Coast Conference odds. Gonzaga is the favorite at minus 130 with St. Mary's second at plus 135. One of the great things about the West Coast Conference setup, it's like this V, like two lines that come together, because both these teams get byes all the way to the semifinals, so you're nearly guaranteed to get a Gonzaga St. Mary's championship game. But St. Mary's has handled Gonzaga very well this season. The Zags just have not been able to do it. I know it's hard to beat a team three times in a season, but give me St. Mary's with the second best odds to win the West Coast Conference, get that auto bid, and then Gonzaga, is that Sweet 16 streak over? That's going to be interesting to watch, Peach.
Certainly will be. Before we get to the shady pick of the day, Isaac, I got to ask you about the Wooden Award National Player of the Year. Jani Broome is plus 140. So odds makers think Cooper Flagg's the guy to beat by a pretty good margin. Do you think there's value there on Broome?
What's 100%. It's like exactly what we just talked about with the West Coast Conference. I think the odds makers are playing on the Cooper Flagg phenomenon of this to try to trick us all into getting it. It's a tricky odds thing. Here we go, PJ. Look, Cooper, did you see Cooper Flagg's line last night, my guy? Mm-hmm. It was absolutely crazy. Very triple-doubly, couple blocks, couple steals, nut stuff. That said, it's Jani Broome for me. This is such a fun back and forth, though. That's what I love about this. The top two players on the top two teams in the country. Perhaps my favorite National Player of the Year race since J.J. Redick and Adam Morrison back in 06. Man, that was special. But I'm still on Jani Broome. Look, both of these guys, you can't go wrong. Give me the Auburn Tigers number one man.
All right, very good. Isaac, before we let you go, what is the Isaac Shady pick of the day? What do you got?
PJ, I never in a million years thought I'd be saying this as of a month ago, because this team had been struggling. But hear this, folks. Give me Indiana on the road tonight at Oregon. 7.5 is too big a line. Indiana has been resuscitated by the death of Mike Woodson's coaching career in Bloomington. Oregon wins the game, but 7.5, not a chance. Indiana stays within that line to cover.
There you go. Isaac Shade, make sure you guys are following him on X at Isaac Shade, host the Locked On College Basketball, Locked On Heels podcast as well. Isaac, always great having you on the show, my friend. We'll talk to you again next Tuesday.
Sounds great, Peach. Have a good one, buddy.
Yes, sir. You as well. All right, guys, let's dive into today's college basketball slate that we have on this Tuesday. And it's a good one. We'll start with a 6 p.m. Eastern time tip out in Columbia between Georgia and South Carolina. This is one of my favorite plays of the day. I like South Carolina minus 110. Total in the game is 138.5. I'm not going to touch that. I'm just going to bet South Carolina to win the game. Georgia's on a roll right now. In their last two games, they've beaten Florida at home, and they won a massive bubble game on the road at Texas. They crushed Texas. Georgia in SEC play this season has scored more than 80 points three times. In their last two games, they've scored 80 points in both of those games. So this is a team that is playing kind of out of their mind offensively a little bit. The team we have seen the last two games is normally the team we don't see from Georgia offensively. They're more of a defensive-minded team. I like them to struggle tonight against South Carolina. We saw South Carolina take care of business against Arkansas, who was a bubble team that came into Columbia on Saturday. I think they take care of Georgia tonight as well. So I'll take the Gamecocks minus 110 against Georgia. Then we got Rutgers taking on Purdue. Boilermakers, an 11.5-point favorite with a total of 152.5. I like Rutgers in this game. It took the Scarlet Knights a little bit to get going, obviously, with their star freshman Ace Bailey, Dylan Harper. Harper was banged up for early to middle part of Big Ten play, but he's back. He's healthy. Ace Bailey's playing really well. It's really tough to beat Purdue at Mackey, so I'm not going to take Rutgers on the money line, but their offense has figured it out. They looked really good against Michigan in their last game. I think they'll be able to put up some points. Purdue's offense, or defense, excuse me, has not been good here as of late. We'll take Rutgers plus the points against Purdue. That North Carolina-Virginia Tech game I was talking about with Isaac, I like Virginia Tech. I liked it a lot more yesterday. The more that I start to think about it, I'm kind of laying off. North Carolina, if you look at kind of their track record the last 5 or 6 years, they always struggle the game before playing Duke the first time. They usually lose that game. The second time around, when they meet up with Duke in the final game of the regular season, that second to last game, they tend to play pretty well. Duke's won five in a row, or UNC's won five in a row. We were just talking about them with Isaac. Their offense has scored 80 or more points in all of those games. They've been on fire. And all five of those games, they've beaten up on some of the bad teams in the ACC. So the teams that they're supposed to beat, they've been taking care of them. It just is all about the mental component tonight. If UNC isn't looking ahead and they treat this Virginia Tech game like it's the next game on the schedule, they'll cover the spread and take care of business. I haven't officially bet it. If I did, though, I would take Virginia Tech plus the points. Then we have Auburn taking on Texas A&M. The Tigers are 4.5-point favorites with a total of 151.5. Now, this is a game that I do like on the schedule. I like A&M plus the points, 4.5. I like A&M on the money line as well, and I like the first half over in the game at 71.5. We'll start with the total. Auburn this season, in all the games that Jahni Broome has played on the road, Auburn has scored 80 or more points in all of those games. They've been a terrific offensive team away from home, so I think they're going to continue to score tonight. I think A&M is going to score with them in the first half, so we're going first half over 71.5. Then I like A&M to cover, and I like them to win the game as well and pull off the potential upset. Something you guys should keep an eye on here over the next couple days while the regular season is winding down in college basketball. Teams that have already wrapped up their regular season championships, is there going to be a letdown, right? Like, what a great spot tonight to bet against Auburn. They just wrapped up the SEC regular season after beating Kentucky on Saturday and Bama losing to Tennessee. They got a rematch against the Tide on Saturday. Auburn has showed us before this season that they are prone to a little bit of a letdown. You look at what happened when they played Bama the first time. The game right after that, they were like 17-point favorites against Arkansas, and they only won that game by 6. So even though this team has been a wagon, and they've been a machine, and they've only lost 2 games so far, they have been prone to a little bit of a letdown. If A&M can just hit some shots tonight, I think they got a chance to win the game. So we'll take the Aggies plus the points and money line as well. Indiana and Oregon. Isaac was talking about this game. I'm going to go the other side of Isaac. He is right. Indiana's been playing awesome. They've turned their season around. If the season ended today, they might be in the NCAA tournament. The problem is they're going up against an Oregon team that's also playing really good basketball. Dana Altman's a terrific March coach, and they've been on fire here as of late. They had that massive win at Wisconsin. They won at Iowa. They hammered USC at home over the weekend. I think they take care of business tonight against Indiana. I'll lay the 7.5 with the Ducks. Then we got that big bubble game in the Big Ten between Ohio State and Nebraska. Buckeyes are a 6.5-point favorite. When you get a game like this with so much on the line and so much at stake, and it's this big of a favorite, and I normally like fading in a row. Their offense has scored 90 or more points in 3 of those games. They're playing terrific basketball, but they're going on the road tonight in one of the tougher environments in college basketball. And Iowa State is healthy. This isn't a team that you've seen for the last 2 months. This is a team that has their full complement of weapons. They're all back. They took care of business against Arizona pretty easily over the weekend. I think they roll to another double-digit win tonight. I'll take Iowa State, lay the points. In the Mountain West tonight, give me Nevada -110 against New Mexico. What I've noticed about the Mountain West, you kind of have like your top 5, top 6 teams in the league, and home court usually means everything in the Mountain West. If New Mexico is playing a Boise, a San Diego State, a Utah State at home, they win those games. If you ask them to go on the road, they usually lose those games. I'll take Nevada tonight, -105. And then Vanderbilt and Arkansas, I love the Hogs tonight, +7.5. I like them on the money line as well. We'll also take the under in the game at 150.5. It's a great spot to bet on Arkansas and to fade Vanderbilt. I talked about earlier, you want to look for teams like Auburn that maybe win a conference regular season title and fade them. Well, Vanderbilt, with their win over Missouri on Saturday, pretty much locked themselves in to the NCAA tournament. So I expect a little bit of a letdown from them. Arkansas is fighting for their tournament lives. They just got hammered by South Carolina. They're going to be without their best player, Adu Thierro, tonight, and they struggle on offense immensely without him. So if they keep this game close, or they win it, they got to do it with defense. So that's why we'll take the under. We'll take Arkansas plus the points as well. All right, let's get to a little golf now as it's a Tee It Up Tuesday. Talking a little Arnold Palmer Invitational at Bay Hill. Great tournament, great golf course, very difficult golf course. It's a par 72. It's about 7,500 yards. Name of the game this week, folks, is accuracy. This is a tough course off the tee. It's a tough course with approach. If you drive the ball into the rough, it's penal. If you drive the ball over the green, it's penal. You got to be accurate this week. You want guys that are able to hit fairways and also hit greens in regulation as well. We're going to start with Rory McIlroy. Of the favorites, I like him at plus 850. Rory has owned Bay Hill in the past. His last eight trips to this course, he has finished in the top 10 six of those eight times. So I would look at Rory to win at plus 850. I'd also look at him to finish in the top 10, maybe even the top five as well. Then we'll go with Ludvig Åberg at 14-1. Ludvig's one of the rising superstars in the game of golf. He won at Torrey Pines, the Genesis Invitational, a couple weeks ago. Ludvig is one of the best ball strikers on tour. He plays difficult golf courses as well. He's played here twice. He finished 24th and 25th. But I think getting that win at Torrey Pines is going to give him supreme confidence. Ludvig on these tough courses, usually a guy that starts fast on Thursday, Friday, and has a tendency to kind of waver down the stretch. But I think getting that win in San Diego is going to help him this week. So I'll look at Ludvig 14-1. Also, give me Russell Henley at 40-1. Russ is as hot as any golfer right now on the PGA Tour. He finished tied for fifth at Pebble. He was tied for sixth last week. And this is a guy that just plays difficult course as well. I talked about off the top, we want accurate golfers. That's what Russell Henley is. He's also got a great short game, so we'll take him at 40-1. Give me Nick Taylor at 90-1 this week at the API. Nick Taylor, one of the underrated ball strikers on the PGA Tour. He finished 12th here at this event last year. I like the price on Nick Taylor at 90-1. Usually in these elevated events, usually one of the big boys end up winning it. But if you're looking for a longer shot, I would look at him. And then way down the board, we'll go with Ben On at 125-1. Ben On's also had some good course history here. He's got a couple of top 10 finishes over the last 4 years. He's not in good form. He's missed the last two cuts. But I think at this course, history almost means as much as current form does. And Ben On, when he's on his game, an elite iron player, ball striker, good putter, he can play some difficult courses pretty tough as well. So because the form hasn't been good recently, we're getting a good number on him, but I would look at Ben On at 125-1. All right, let's check in with our next guest, Nick Henyon, who joins us. Make sure you guys are following Nick on X at Nick Henyon, senior writer for BetMGM. Definitely want to get Nick's thoughts on some golf. We'll talk some Champions League as well. But Nick, let's start with the Arnold Palmer Invitational. Great event this week out at Bay Hill. What kind of golfers are you looking for this week, Nick, out in Orlando?
Everything you just said, PJ. Essentially, you want a guy who's going to consistently find himself in the fairway. The rough is really penal, as you mentioned, so no bueno on guys who are going to consistently have those wayward drives and find themselves in trouble, because as you mentioned, it's a really long course, over 7,400 yards here, so it's going to be really difficult to consistently find those greens. And this is not a birdie fest. This is something where you grind it out, you make a lot of pars, you try to take advantage of the par fives, and that's your path to victory, essentially. So I'm looking for guys who are going to, who have previously shown me that they can play from the fairway. They are good with their long irons. They have previously demonstrated excellence on these long courses that give emphasis to players that can just make a few birdies and stay out of trouble on the most difficult holes.
All right, I love it. Nick, before we get to some of the golfers that you really like this week, I do want to get your thoughts on Xander. This is the first time we're seeing him in a little bit, coming back from injury, 20-1. Obviously won a couple of majors last season. Did you do anything with Xander this week? Do you almost think that maybe fading Xander this week or betting him to miss the cut could be a good option? Or are you just completely staying away and kind of just want to see how he looks for the week?
Yeah, I just kind of want to see how he looks. No real opinion on him. He wasn't really very good at the Century before he ultimately sustained that injury. I am using this week as just a find out on Xander Schauffele. I'm not going to be in a rush to fade him because his form at the end of last year was so good, but there are other players in that shorter odds range that I would just rather give my money to over Xander Schauffele, even in the mid-20s in a week where, you know, you're seeing him inflated numbers on Scheffler and Rory. So just no real read on him. There's no metrics to point to as far as like, hey, that makes him worth a bet this week. So it's just, I'm pretending he's not there on the odds board.
Totally fair. Nick, who are some golfers that that you like this week at Bay Hill?
I'm going to torture myself and take Justin Thomas again at 20-1. Look, I mean, he's been flirting with victory so much this early this year, and he had a really strong showing at the Genesis a few weeks ago at Torrey Pines. I mentioned that. That's another long course, penal rough. You need to keep it in the fairway. Sixth in strokes gained tee to green this year, this calendar year, excuse me. Historically, that is the biggest indicator of success at Bay Hill. He has improved with each showing at the Arnold Palmer Invitational, culminating with a T12 here last year. So I think the way Thomas is striking the ball, he's sixth in greens in regulation gained, 10th in bogey avoidance. That's another big stat to look at this week. I just think this profile is the week where Thomas maybe has a higher win equity than these odds suggest. So 20-1 on a guy who has consistently found himself in contention. I like Justin Thomas quite a bit this week.
Very good. I saw, Nick, you tweeted out there was a guy down the board, 80-1 long shot that interests you. Who's that guy that you like?
You gave me so much confidence by saying him before. It's Nick Taylor. I was very surprised when the model spit out Nick Taylor. So I'm almost a little scared to share this because if I have done my job correctly, Taylor offers so much more win equity than his market rating currently has him at. I should also mention you can find him at plus 140 to finish in the top 40. He's fourth in my mixed condition model. And wow. I was not expecting that from a guy who's 70th of 72nd in the field in driving distance. But he makes up for it with a couple of ways. He's fifth in fairways gained this calendar year, 20th in proximity from 200 or more yards on his approach shots, and he's third in greens in regulation gained. So in at a course where it's basically what I just said, play from the fairway, don't make mistakes, and consistently find greens to avoid scrambling around the course, that's Nick Taylor. And, you know, if you look at the entire record at this course, he hasn't been very good, but his best finish at Bay Hill came last year, a tie for 12th here. He was tied for 9th at Torrey Pines, another similar course, and he's second on the calendar year in strokes gained approach. So Nick Taylor, 80-1, and I really like him for a top 30 at plus 140.
Absolutely love it. From one Nick to another, hopefully good vibes this week for the Knicks out in Bay Hill. Before we let you go, Nick, obviously want to get your thoughts on some soccer. We got some Champions League matches today, tomorrow. Give us some of your favorite bets that you like on the pitch.
Just one I like for today. That's going to be under 2.5 goals in Arsenal against PSV. If you've been tuning in to me the last few weeks, you know I'm all aboard the Arsenal fade train. I can't quite get there this week with PSV, who have really struggled against them historically, but Arsenal profile is an under team moving forward. Kai Havertz, Bukayo Saka, Gabriel Martinelli, Gabriel Jesus, they're all out for basically the entire season, and you're still seeing totals at 2.5. I don't think the market has quite adjusted to the fact that the Arsenal defense is one of the best across the continent. They're third in expected goals allowed across the big five European leagues, and they have struggled to, you know, break down these really bad defenses. They played two bottom five EPL defenses in their last three matches leading up to this one. They have not created more than 1.7 XG against them. PSV has looked serviceable enough against Juventus in the last leg that I can place some trust in their defense to hold up. So give me under 2.5 in Arsenal and PSV.
In about 30 seconds, Nick, I see we got a heavyweight matchup tomorrow between PSG and Liverpool. Stay away for you or any plays that that interest you?
There's obviously a tax on PSG here because this number makes no sense. I mean, PSG closed at plus 145 against Manchester City at home in the group stage. There is no planet on which Liverpool is 10 cents worse than Manchester City this year. So Liverpool hasn't lost a meaningful match since September. it would be Liverpool or nothing for me. I think the market is just overreacting to PSG's, you know, knockout win over Brest. I would, you know, consider Liverpool draw no bet or Liverpool double chance as a parlay piece. That would be how I approach it.
Absolutely love it. Nick Kenyon, make sure you guys are following him on X at Nick Kenyon, senior writer for BetMGM. Always great talking golf and soccer with him. Nick, appreciate the time, sir. Good luck. Talk again next Tuesday.
Of course. Thanks, PJ.
Absolutely. All right, guys, let's wrap the show. PJ's plays right here on Send It In on the BetMGM Network. We will start with our prop lock of the day. That's going to be Texas A&M point guard Wade Taylor over 15.5 points against Auburn. I told you guys I like A&M tonight. I think there's a chance they can win the game. If they do, it's got to be because of Wade Taylor. He's got to show up tonight. We'll go over 15.5 points for Wade Taylor. Dog of the day, give me Arkansas, plus 7.5 against Vanderbilt. I think they're going to bounce back after their performance against South Carolina. Vandy, maybe a little bit of a letdown after their big win against Missouri. Coach Cal, I'm expecting him to have his guys ready tonight. Give me Arkansas plus the points. And then finally, my best bet, South Carolina money line against Georgia. Georgia's been playing out of their minds on offense the last couple nights. 80 points in back-to-back games. They only did that one other time in the SEC this season. I think they struggle offensively tonight. Give me South Carolina on the money line against Georgia. Thanks again, Isaac Shade and Nick Kenyon, for joining us today on the show. Good luck to you guys tonight in college hoops. Plenty more college basketball picks on the show tomorrow. We'll see you then.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.